This is good.
I like Will from far away.
I like the old man.
Yeah. Will from far away is the best.
My wife tricked me into marrying her. She told me that I loved her.
He's got the delivery.
No, but he can't deliver jokes. Wait, try another guy.
Okay.
It says he's going to ruin every joke. You're going to laugh.
Will from far away? You want
No,
Will?
But he's going to ruin jokes because the pauses are so weird.
I can change the pauses.
The staccato delivery.
Well, I can put a pause in between sentences. That's
No, it's just how he delivers. Give me a couple more choices.
Okay. Here's Josh.
My wife tricked me into marrying her. She told me that I loved her.
It's a little kid.
Yeah, that's
here's Kenny.
My wife tricked me into marrying.
Oh, that's terrible.
I think the old man is the best. If you can understand what he's saying.
Okay, well, we heard the old man doing that already. Will bad guy, Will happy. Here's Will happy.
No, dude, well, okay, but of course then we want to hear Will sad.
My wife tricked me into marrying her. She told me that I loved her.
That's bad. Well, we heard Will sad. Let's hear Will sad again.
My wife tricked me into marrying her. She told me that I loved her.
That's it. That's the guy.
You want Will sad?
Yeah, it's kind of like a.
So you want Will sad to do all your jokes Friday night?
I think that isn't that the funniest?
I like Will from far away. I'm curious what other people...
Doesn't Will Sad sound like that comedian, what's his name, Wright?
Stephen Wright? Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I'll try one more. One more piece of material.
Okay.
And by the way, this is also a great time to mention, all these jokes and more, this is just a taste of what you'll get if you follow me on Andy Breckman Man. Hold on, here we go.
Yes, Andy's been really into Twitter lately.
Yeah, I'm trying to
sometimes get... Sometimes two or three tweets a day.
I'm trying to get my numbers up. Okay. Okay, I think...
And, I have to say that your tweets are some of the only tweets that make me laugh out loud.
Well, you're easy because you're stoned.
No, I'm not easy, and I'm not stoned. Not yet.
Wait. Oh, see, I screwed that up. Hold on.
Wait, I okay. bought.
Hold on. Wait, hold on.
I think. Yeah, okay.
Okay, now this is going to be an interesting test for the... It's kind of a complicated joke. It's a short joke, but it's all about the delivery. Okay, so now let's do it in the sad voice.
This is Will Sad.
And see if it makes you laugh.
Will Sad reading a joke by Andy Breckman.
I think I just screwed up. I bought a house on a one-way dead-end street.
What?
I bought a house on a one-way dead-end street. I think I just screwed up.
Okay, I get it now.
You can't.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, yeah. We should explain. This is now the lineup for Friday night. What club?
The Brightside Tavern in Jersey City.
Where is that?
The corner of Bright and Monmouth.
Bright and Monmouth. And what time on Friday night?
8 p.m. Friday
night. So it'll be Ken, a few other comedians, and me via this robotic avatar.
Yeah.
Oh, Andrea, what are you doing here? No, Andrea.
Sad Will.
Andrea, you got to get out. There's apparently a great new host coming in with a very exciting new show. Andrea, get out. Andrea, that's where he or she is going to sit.
No, Andrea is the new host.
Wait, what? Hold on. My world makes no sense. I landed on some bizarro planet?
No, Andrea's doing...
Andrea, our little protege?
Yes, Andrea.
The little girl that looks up to us? Like her two lost daddies? That little Andrea?
Well, like her good daddy and her bad daddy.
Yeah, exactly. Andrea, we're so proud of you, aren't we, Kenny?
We are.
Oh, I hope to be the first DJ after your show who you don't mock horribly.
I tell you this, you will probably be the first DJ after my show that I will listen to on the way home.
Aww.
So are you not going to mock Andrea?
I can't.
Wow.
I love the little kid.
This is cognitive dissonance for me. I'm just not used to
it. I don't know what that means, but I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So you're playing Thunderball.
Yeah, for the Bindlestiff family circus van that was stolen and stripped.
In lieu of your van being available to you, we are playing part of Tom Jones singing Thunderball.
Well, that was the name of the van.
We hope that makes it up for you in a small way.
The van was called Thunderball.
We hope this eases the pain you're going through in a very small way.
And, yeah, email me at ken@wfmu.org, and maybe we can help you out trying to restore Thunderball and everything that was inside of it. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Stay tuned for the maiden episode of Why Oh Why with Andrea.
Wow. Wow, that just sounds weird.
His days of asking are all gone. His fight goes on and on and on. But he thinks that the fight is worth it all. So he strikes like
on the show, I get to know the woman my mom's been living with for 3 years.
We're one Chinese baby away from being the perfect lesbian couple.
And I finally ask my best friend if she calls the 50-year-old guy she's dating daddy.
All the time, absolutely. Poppy, Papa, old man.
She's joking.
No, no, that's disgusting. I would never.
And we go to a bar offering free camel rides.
Off we go. Hold on, young lady. Balance yourself. Give him a tap. Give him a tap. We're going to go get Joe next. Come on, Cody. I know.
Join me for a trip home for the holidays on this debut episode of Why Oh Why. Stay with us.
My heart is beating.
Years ago, I was out with your mom on New Year's while she was dancing on the bar.
She was not.
Well, it was either you were talking to some guy or dancing on the bar. That was the choice.
That's Carrie, my mom's roommate. I used to think she was a bad influence on my mom, but it might be the other way around.
Guy comes up to me and he's talking to me for a while. He was like, world cyclist, and he goes, you're an older woman. I'm like, okay, yeah. And he's like, I'm 21. He's like, what are you, like 22? And then your mom hates us. But I go, Mom, look at this nice boy I met. And then
that's
he was trying to come home with
the new house rule.
Then there's a new house rule.
What's the new house rule?
They have to be older than your brother.
Unless they're grandfather. They can't. That is true.
Wait, who would be grandfather?
Before the rule.
Before the rule.
Before
would have
the
been
rule.
One. A couple months younger than your brother.
My brother is 27. This is horrible.
Yeah, he was like trying to come home with us. And I'm like, I don't think my mom likes you. I don't think she'll let you come home with us.
I will say that that's the same night that as the bar was closing, a married couple said, we have a hotel room. We've got a room at the Baker. And it occurred to me, oh, I wonder why they're telling me that.
I found a 21-year-old and your mom was approached with a threesome.
Approached for a threesome.
What we get for dancing on the bar.
That's what we get for dancing on the bar. But that was a few years ago.
Yeah, we're growing up now.
So when I call and I say, Mom, how was your New Year's Eve? You left out that part of the story that year?
When she said swinging, you did not know what that meant.
You're listening to YOY on WFMU. I'm Andrea Salenzi. You can join us live every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m., after my favoriteest show in the whole wide world, 7 Second Delay. Next week on the show, I'm going to tell you all about the origins of this name, YOY. But first, it's time for you to meet my mom, the woman she lives with, my brother, my best friend, my second cousin, and a real live camel. YOY is a show about where love and sex meets technology, but it's also about me, mainly the things that make me uncomfortable and lonely and curious and drunk and naked and sometimes fired. All of these things make it on the show, which is why, dear listener, you're coming home with me for the holidays in the Chicago suburbs. You are going to hear so many Chicago accents, it's insane, but also a lot of awkward laughing and this incredible theme which is going to emerge throughout the hour, which is a theme of the people that we bring into our lives and how they come to be there and how we keep them there. My mom's roommate, Carrie, says she's really intuitive, which I think is code for psychic. That's even how her marriage ended.
I found love letters in a closet. We had several closets in the basement and all the boxes. And I got up one day, opened up one box, and I found the love letters.
And you just knew right where to look.
Yeah. It was kind of like just guided there, and I never even thought he was cheating. So that was a huge slap in the face. So, yeah, there's a lot of intuitiveness. I mean, I think the most crazy one I told my best friend a year and a half ago, I could feel my light path changing. I'm like, I want to jump out of my skin. What's going on? What's wrong today? I'm like, I can feel things changing. That night, I met a very nice guy. He was about, 9 years older than me. He was moving to New Jersey the next day from local. He proposed to me and wanted me to go with him. It was one of those nights where you're up all night, and it was probably one of the most honest nights of who each of us were, what we wanted, what we were looking for, and what we needed in this life out of someone. It was very interesting because he was like, okay, right now I have a 2-bedroom apartment out there. You come with, we're getting a house. I said, well, then I need a dog. And we were just going back and forth and we were very honest. I said I had been through a lot and if I left, there would be transition and I probably would feel some attachment issues. And just honest with him where I had been emotionally, just with everything that I had done. He was like, I'm not like this. What's going on? He's like, what is it with you? Are you a gypsy? And I'm like, I'm really sorry. I'm like, here, read my text to my friend. He's like, oh my God. He's like, where have you been for 3-4 years? You have to come with me. I'm leaving tomorrow. But we tried long distance for a little bit, but it didn't work. Recently, a girlfriend of mine, she introduced me to a nice guy, clean cut, well dressed, nice job, never married, no kids, friend of a friend. You think like, okay, we're okay. We met as a group. He was enamored by me, just a lot of attention, bought me dinner, bought me drinks, you know, just you know, really attracted to who I was. It's like, I need to see you again. I want to see you again. I'm like, okay, fine. About a week later, we go out, we watch a hockey game, we have drinks. It's fine. Ask for a second date. Starts texting me, hey, how's your day? Blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, we're talking out of the blue. So, Saturday, are you free? No permanent plans. You know, what are you thinking? I have this swinger bi girl party that I would like for you to go to. And I go, second date, and you already want to swap me out. And he's like, I don't want to see someone else with you. I don't do the swinger lifestyle, blah, blah, blah. And I go, yeah, and people sniff cocaine because they like the smell of it. So that pretty much ended that one. One guy offered to take me to a Tilted Kilt for a first date.
What's that?
It is a scantily clad female American type bar. Girls look like Catholic schoolgirl. We go to lunch and we're just talking. He's a sales manager and we're talking about how much we work. And he goes into that he has a second job.
That's great, ambitious, bringing in an income.
I know, nice, attractive, professional man. Male escort. His sister and brother-in-law run the business. And he kept talking about it, and he goes, but I don't want you to see me that way. And I paused, taking in the information, and I looked at him, and I go, are you out with me on a date for professional or business reasons? And he goes, oh, you don't need me, definitely no. And I'm like, okay. And I go in to explain that my ex cheated on me and that I really don't like to share. And then he goes, oh no, if I was with you, I'd quit my side job. And I'm like, and he kept going into all of it and explaining it. And they were mostly female. He was explaining that most of the encounters were not physical. That actually women just want companionship. They want to go out dancing. I was like, no, I just need to get back to work.
That was Carrie, the woman my mom lives with. She may have bad luck dating, but she has great luck with her friends. She and my mom are so close. They sometimes just sit on the couch together, watching TV and playing Facebook Scrabble on their phones together. My brother even tells the story about the time he came home and found them, well, watching porn together. The details of this are kind of murky, and I really don't want to think about it too much. But needless to say, the neighbors have been wondering. My mom jokes that her home has become a halfway house for divorcing women, but Carrie, her latest tenant, has been there over 3 years, and their relationship is special.
The neighbors around here, particularly the pig who kind of lives behind us, I said something to him one time, chatting over the fence like a good suburban neighbor does, about you've probably noticed a girlfriend of mine lives here now. You've probably seen her car. And he goes, oh, I see you got a young one this time.
Later that night, my mom took me along country line dancing with her boyfriend, Fred. As we drove there, she was on the phone with Carrie.
All right, have fun at trivia.
Okay, we'll wait now. You look so cute, though.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So where are we going, Mom?
To Saddle Up.
What's Saddle Up? Tell me what goes on
at Saddle Up. It's a dance hall and a saloon. Where, a dance hall.
Okay, but that it's a specific kind of dance hall.
It is. It's kind of a country line dance. The dancing is all country. The music is not. I think if it was all country music, I never would have continued going there and learning how to dance. But the music is very... It's a good mix. Some is super corny country, but there'll be some more light country or modern country. And then every once in a while, they'll completely throw something in that's practically, I don't know all my music genres, but one song that we hear a lot is Zydeco. There's another dance that we do that we used to do to the Backstreet Boys. So whatever they are, boy band music. I haven't heard this one song for a while, but when I first started going, we used to dance to Cat Stevens, back when he was still Cat Stevens, to a Cat Stevens song. So it's an interesting mix of music, but the dancing is all country.
When we get to Saddle Up, how many people are you going to know who are there dancing? Is this your scene?
I wouldn't call it my scene, but this is definitely a familiar spot for me since I'm there usually twice a week, occasionally three times. There's people that I see every single Wednesday for years now there. When we first get there, it will be about 7 o'clock. This is a different night because it's Black Wednesday, so it will be very crowded and it will have a lot of newcomers and people who aren't there for the dancing. But of the early crowd, I'll know if there's 50 people, I'll know them all when we first get there.
And there's also going to be something else that's special there tonight.
Yes, I don't know how this is going to go, but they're making a big deal about it being hump day. And apparently there's going to be free camel rides in the parking lot. I will point out that it's currently 22 degrees outside, and I have absolutely no intention of getting on a camel in my short black dress in 22 degrees, but they're trying to do something completely different tonight. Wednesday night is always ladies' night. There's no admission to get in for ladies, and it's always cheap drink night, like $2.50 for a drink. So people do come and get very overserved, and tonight probably will be no exception. And then the later into the evening, the more young people come, the more non-dancers come, and they're waiting for the roadhouse music to start at 10:30. But yeah, there's never been a camel before for hump day, so that will be a little different.
So I was telling one guy, like when we woke up the next morning, I was like, hey man, how's the Monday? Is this the back of the camel line? Yeah? Okay. Good.
You got one to ride with?
No.
We'll hop together. We'll go together.
Really? That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. That's me in the camel line.
I'm Jack, by the way.
Oh, I'm Andrea. It's nice to meet you.
Same here. Andrea?
Andrea. Yeah.
Okay.
He's wearing a cowboy hat and has a mustache that curls up in the corners, but not in an ironic way. I instantly adore him for being so nice to me. And his laugh is literally like saying, ha, ha, ha. It's great.
Yeah.
I don't know how to line dance. I feel really bad about it.
My wife forced me into it back in 92. She made me an animal. Once I learned that I could do it, because I told her, it says, I'm rock and roll. I'm not country. I don't listen to country. But when I learned how to do it, forget it. I was gone. I was hooked. And then we also took lead and follow, which two-step, waltz, cha-cha, swing, double two. And then we do pattern dances, go around. So
my mom's so good at it. I just, like, once you get into it, it's like addicting, right?
It is. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you
going to
go?
Just,
no. Why not?
She's coming out
to cheer. It's too freaking cold out here.
Watch my daughter. This is my daughter, Karen. This is
Hi,
my daughter,
nice to you.
That's mom. Okay.
Yeah, that's my mom. We're going to ride a camel together.
Okay.
By yourself.
Are you in line? Yes. Where are you going?
I came out to see what you were doing. I figured you would be.
I've seen Mom and Dad dancing for a long time.
Camels, the way they move.
My wife usually comes here when our other friends come, because she comes with me. I stay in a floor and line dance. It's kind of boring for her. She knows some of them, and I tell her, like, creep when to come out of different line dances that are easy.
She's already
ready. Yeah.
I'm not very, how would you call it, sociable when I get out of here dancing.
Yeah.
So, we also dance in Swiggle at the KC Hall. That'll be not this Friday, the following Friday, we'll be at the Swiggle. It's kind of neat because we do different dances over there.
That's so great.
I know.
I think it's just good for you to get out and move. And...
Oh, yeah. I would say I probably lose a pound a week.
Just from doing this?
Just, yeah. Yeah.
It's so good for you.
Yeah. I used to be in the 180s. Now I stay in the low 70s, the middle now.
That's so good.
So, yeah.
There isn't usually a camel, though, right?
No. This is unusual. When I get close, I might call my wife up and say, well, I'm getting ready, dear. I'm waiting to see if she'll... Yeah, she'll still be there.
Yeah.
She's still cooking.
Great. Are you having fun dancing?
Yes, except some girl sat in our chairs and wouldn't get out.
You asked her?
Yeah. You know how you always take chairs, yes. And if people sit, you just go... That's my chair.
This is the major drama of the night. I'll spare you, and we can fast forward to more camel stuff.
Do you just ride the camel? How was it?
I hurt my badge.
We're taking it home.
Ow! God, that hurt!
In the front of the line, real-life camels are doing small circles in a roped-off area of the parking lot. People climb a stairway, and they're lifted onto the camel by the owner's assistant. And now Jack is telling me some more stories from the Navy. We are still waiting in line.
My last year, I went on a destroyer escort, Edward McDonald.
Wow.
Probably less than 20 degrees.
Are you guys excited about the
the
camel?
I've never ridden a living camel.
I have previous riding experience, so hopefully it'll be just the same.
Really? Yeah. What was it like last time?
I used to horseback ride, so I'm hoping it'll be the same.
Oh man, they have a muzzle on the camel. Camels are wearing a scary muzzle. I'm so scared.
Don't be.
What if it bucks us off?
Well, clearly they changed the angry one to the more calmer one, so.
All right, so balance yourself. Here we go. Got her picture. Off we go. Hold on, young lady. Balance yourself. Come on, Cody. Give him a tap. Give him a tap. We're going to go get Joe next. Come on, Cody. I know. You got to get bribed.
It's like growling, right? It's going.
I hope he doesn't growl on out here.
Are they cold?
No, they're not.
I watched
them. Are they unhappy?
Huh?
Are the camels unhappy?
Why?
Because they're in the cold in a parking lot and they're desert animals?
No, in desert it's colder. You have to see it in the front.
Okay. Can I leave my purse? You have my purse?
No flash, baby Huey.
Okay.
Baby Huey, his name is Joe.
This is baby Huey?
Yeah. Yes, sit in the...
Just sit up here? Oh, my God.
Right there.
Oh, poor camel.
Give him your phone, please. What are you doing?
Oh, okay. It's my audio, my radio.
All right,
fine.
Let's go.
Oh, Huey.
While I rode the camel, I kept telling it, I'm so sorry for you, baby Huey. You're supposed to be in a desert, not Chicago, toting around drunk line dancers. And me? I pet its thick camel fur, and it felt soft but cold, like when you leave your scarf in the car. The guy holding the chain attached to the muzzle listened to me trying to connect with the desert beast. He said, "Don't worry about baby Huey. I'm its daddy," which was a creepy thing to hear a man say about his camel. And the words didn't make me feel better, because parents don't always sign a lifetime contract to be parents and only parents. Sometimes parents send their baby camels away to work the parking lot at a country bar. And sometimes they make friends, get a nice boyfriend, and dance on bars on New Year's Eve.
Michael, will you throw the special rock again?
I got you, girl.
You ready? Okay, the rocks here make a crazy sound if you throw them, and I'm going to put the recorder down by the ice so you guys can all hear this.
We're all standing on the edge of a frozen lake. We're in Antioch, Illinois. It's about an hour north of Chicago, almost to Wisconsin. The sun is setting, and I have seriously never been someplace that felt more beautiful and quiet and just the whole world is glowing. My best friend and my brother Mike just posed for a photo of themselves crashing into each other. And that was the sound of their knees hitting the ice.
It really hurt.
Are you okay?
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
We were going too fast.
I know. I thought we had it, though. I did.
Look at this crack. That was my knee.
Is it your knee or my knee?
I think it was my, maybe my
hip. Oh, God. That was so stupid.
Where are we, guys? What's going on? This is my brother, Michael.
What's up?
Where are we right now?
We are in Antioch, Illinois. On Petite Lake.
Doesn't mean it's a small lake. Just because it's called Petite Lake doesn't mean it's that small. It's a beautiful big lake.
It's actually a part of the chain of lakes, which is, I believe, about 488 miles of shoreline.
Al Capone buried bodies here. Or by buried, I mean threw them in to the muck.
I'm not saying anything.
And we're standing on frozen ice, just like sliding around, chilling. Casey's here.
Frozen ice. I like that.
It's we're not just dancing ice. On
just frozen ice.
Frozen ice.
I had to clarify. Also here is another family member. Welcome, Stevie.
Hello, world.
You are taking awesome long exposure photographs on the ice.
Yes, I'm very patient.
It's gorgeous. Holy cow.
I know this is radio, so this isn't. Taking pictures isn't really...
I'll embed this on the playlist. Right. People will see this. So we were just talking about online dating. And Stevie, you have some experience with this.
I have much experience with it. It's not all good. Some good, some bad, some hilarious. But I was dating this girl, and we were going out for a couple months. And I actually kind of met her, honestly, through online dating in two ways. One was I was out one night with some friends. We were at a bar, and me and a other buddy met this girl from Boston, Liz. And we started talking to her, and I said, hey, my roommate's from Boston. So they all had a good bonding experience over both being from Boston. The night ended, and we went our separate ways and didn't see her again for a while. And then I was browsing the web pages of OkCupid, and I saw a girl who looked familiar, and I was... browsed her profile, searching for any information about being from Boston, and I didn't find any, so I decided to send her a message saying, hey, are you from Boston? She responded saying, yes, I am, are you? And I said, no, but my roommate is, and I explained the story of how we met. This was about a month after we had met, a month or two or so. And
Was she super creeped out that you remembered all this?
She thought it was hilarious, actually. She just said something like, LOL... la la la, ha ha ha, what a night. So that I was going to leave it at that because I was just kind of like, okay, whatever. And then like a day later, she asked it when we were hanging out again. So I said, it's actually my roommate's birthday tomorrow night. You should come out. So she came out, met us out, and we had a good time that night. And then I had a show the following week where I was going to be playing guitar and singing and trying to impress everybody with my musical abilities. And so I invited her out, and she brought a friend who she had met earlier that week, and this girl's name was Sarah. So Sarah's at the show, and I meet Sarah, and I kind of like Sarah, and my roommate tries to play matchmaker, so Sarah and I start dating, and it's going well. Like, we dated for a couple months, and then finally, I was curious. I was like, she had said some things about her online profile, and I'm like, that kind of sounds familiar, and I was curious as to what our compatibility match would be on OkCupid. So we both had deactivated our profiles by then, but we both logged on to see
You guys deactivated your profiles? That's a big step.
It did, yeah, because she was sick of getting messages, and she had actually quit before we had even met. So But we were like a 90% match. I'm like, okay, that makes sense because we're dating. And so I'm browsing through a profile, and I see a little icon saying last contacted, April something as such. So this was like months before I had even met her. And I was like, met her in real life. And I was like, oh my God, I knew your profile sounded familiar. So I went to my messages to see what I sent her. And her screen name was Sarah with an H. Because her name is Sarah and it ends with an H. And I had told her that story that I think it's funny when people always ask you how you spell your name. And when they say, is that Sarah with an H or without an H? Some people will say it's with an S. And then you're like, oh, fist to the head. Okay, never mind. So anyway, in my message to her months before on the online dating, I had sent her a message relaying that story. And I was like, ha, 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 that's kind of funny. What's your favorite sushi? And I never heard from her. And so I was like, I sent you a message, and you didn't respond to me, and now you're dating me. I'm like, what kind of nonsense is that? I'm like, this is why I hate online dating, because it's so bogus, because a girl that will go out with me, give me your number in a bar, won't even respond to my message online. So she made up some – well, I don't think she made up a story.
What did she say? Why did she say she didn't respond?
She said because it was in the middle of, like, a period where she was on, like – 4 dates with 4 different guys within like a week and was just like overloaded and didn't want to like talk to any more guys or whatever. So, and she said she saw something in my profile that like she thought I wouldn't be happy with her about or something like that, or wouldn't fit her what I'm looking for. So
do you know what it was?
Well, she said something like I had some joke about some crappy pun about how I like my women like I like my food, healthy and well-prepared, not fast and cheap. And so she – and it's just kind of stupid. Like, I don't know.
You saw it on a bumper sticker once.
No,
and you
it
thought
should
it belonged
be on a bumper sticker. No, it's actually an original work, but original quote. So I'll take the blame and the credit. But she said something like – well, she's like, well, I'm not healthy. I don't eat healthy. And, I mean, not she's like – out of shape or anything, but she saw that as like a red flag. And that, I mean, it's just BS. Like, that's why the online dating thing is BS, because a girl will look for any excuse to not want to message you, because girls get way too many messages anyway. So like any tiny little thing, they're gonna be like, I'm not even gonna respond. So it's just total BS. And so she felt really bad about it, because I thought it was hilarious. Like, I wasn't really like upset at her for not responding. I understand that, whatever, if she didn't want to date a ton of guys or whatever, but I just think it speaks to the absurdity of online dating, that someone you could meet in public would be into you, but then if you like sent them a message online, they wouldn't even like respond. And I think
she would have responded if you hadn't asked about the sushi. I think the sushi's really where
the funny thing. The funny thing is, that's what she said too. She's like, I didn't really know what to say, but I'm like, I'm sure in her profile it said somewhere like favorite foods was sushi. And so I wasn't just going to tell her this story, because that's the worst, when you like tell a story but there's no call to action in any sort of message. Like, if it's just like, if you were selling a car and you're like, hey, look, these are great cars. And you'd be like, okay, that's a great car. But you have to follow it up with saying, you should buy one. Buy a car for me. So I gave her this story about Sarah with an H and how idiots don't get what you're asking when you say, is that Sarah with an H or without an H? And they say with an S. So I told her that story, which I thought would make her laugh. And then I was like, so what's your favorite sushi place? As like an icebreaker comment, because that's super easy to respond to. But she said, she's like, I don't know. I didn't know if what sushi place I would say. But I'm like, well, if you put in your profile that you like sushi, you obviously have to have some sort of opinion on it. So maybe that's why. But well, we broke up because I wasn't feeling as intense about the relationship as she was, and I felt disingenuous, kind of leading her on, so to speak, if I knew, like, she was getting really into me, and I'm like, you know, I guess I don't feel as strongly as I should, i.e., Andrea will know this, I went on a date with a girl about a year ago, and it was a Sunday morning at 7 in the morning, and I was out late, but I liked this girl so much, I was going to go out on a date on a Sunday morning at 7 a.m., like, wake up early on my day off, and I kind of used that as my litmus test to see if I really like a girl. Would I go out with her at 7 in the morning on my day off? And if the answer is no, then I'm not that into her. So I guess I just didn't want to continue a relationship that I saw going nowhere long term when...
So what you're really saying is that she wasn't healthy enough, right? No.
It wasn't healthy enough for a relationship. But, but she was a really great girl in a lot of ways. And in a previous life or in my younger days, I probably would have dated her for a really long time. But I've kind of dated enough people to learn that if you get to a certain point where you're like, okay, I don't see this going super long term, it's a little disingenuous to continue on the relationship, unless that's what you're into. But I'm not super into like casually dating. Like I don't need somebody around to be happy and fulfilled.
That really, like, I can really relate to that. I think that there's a point where when we were younger, we were able to lie to ourselves or like be convinced that something's going to change. But
right.
Now that we know ourselves better, I don't know. I think that's the difference between like 23 and 28.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, once you know if you're into somebody, and I always heard this from old people, when you know, and like, it's very true. Like you're either, my whole saying now is if you have to think about whether you're into somebody or not, you're not. Or if you have to think about, is this guy, does this girl like me? I can't tell. If you can't tell, that means they don't, because you'd be able to tell. Like, I know obviously everyone shows affection differently, but like, it's pretty obvious if somebody's got the hots for you or they don't. And there's shades of gray within that, but usually, if you have to think about it, the answer's no. So that's
I just want to give you 10 points for the phrase, got the hots for you.
That's what the kid's saying these days on the Instagram and the Twitter. Hashtag got the hots, hashtag with a Z. It's HOTZ, not S.
You can follow Steve on Instagram at
hip_hipster_Ray. Even though my name isn't Ray, but that's another long story. But yeah, I take great photos, so check it out.
He does. Follow hip_hipster_Ray. Also, I want to ask you, you self-identify as a hipster?
Well, another story, which is kind of funny. Instagram, I've been on Instagram for 1 year ago, actually yesterday, and I thought it was a totally ridiculous app. I thought it was literally just a bunch of hipsters taking crappy pictures with lousy filters. And so I reluctantly joined when the girl I was dating at the time suggested that I join Instagram. So I joined and made a super ironic username, Hip Hipster Ray. And if you guys aren't catching it, it's a play on words, hip hip hooray, and hipsters be on Instagram. So I'm like, hip hip, hip hipster Ray. So that's where it came from. And then once it kind of caught on, I know you can change your username, but I was kind of stuck with it. And so it's kind of like my ironic thing. And I guess I'm turning into a hipster now. So I guess it's, I don't know. But there's good hipsters and bad hipsters, just like good witches and bad witches, you know.
How great is my cousin Steve? I especially love it when he said this.
LOL, la la la, ha ha ha. What a night, what a night.
His story is a reminder of how hard it can be to be a nice guy on a website like OkCupid. Here's his tip. He says if it seems like a guy or a girl has put a lot of thought into their message, you should reply. Even if it's just to say, hey, I don't think we're a match, but thanks for this nice note. It'll just make the website a more friendly place. As we wrap up this series of moments and stories from my trip home for the holidays, I present to you, dear listener, my last recording. It's from a drive home in the dark with my two favorite people on the entire planet. They are talking about something very similar to what Steve was saying. Is it important to bring someone into your life for the long term, or is short term okay?
So I'm in the car with my brother.
My name is Michael.
And my friend, Julie. And we were just talking about who Julie's dating right now. And Michael had a really good question. Why do you date a 50-year-old man?
Yeah, you gotta give him some backstory here.
Julie's in a relationship with a 50-year-old dude. And Michael wanted to know what was...
I think they're dudes at 50. I think they're men at 50.
He rides a motorcycle.
How old Julie is.
Julie, okay.
Because if Julie's 45 and he's 50, telling
them
that
he's 50. Guys are clearly better at radio than me.
You need to paint a picture for your audience.
I want your help painting the picture.
I feel like we could do this in back editing, though. I am a 28, God, almost 29-year-old woman, Caucasian female, 5'6".
Little ADD.
Slight ADD.
Professional job.
Professional.
Working on
very few hobbies.
Working on an advanced degree.
Working on an advanced degree.
Occasional smoker.
Occasional smoker. But now I'm incriminating myself. And I am dating a fellow who I go to school with who is going to be turning 50 in January. And the age difference is what? It's 20-ish, maybe 21 years.
How old is his oldest child?
Oh, God, 22.
So there's a lot of questions that come up when you hear that.
Yeah, it's not comfortable. I was very happy. I suggested that he lie about my age. I would be very comfortable pretending to be 35 for a very long time. But
you'd be a really good-looking 35-year-old.
I would feel great about being 35. Absolutely. Have the skin of a 25-year-old, 28-year-old, 30-year-old, but not a 35-year-old. It would be nice.
But he still knows. I mean, he's the luckiest man on earth.
Oh,
you know?
That's nice of you to say. I don't think he feels that way.
He has this wonderful time with the beautiful 28-year-old.
It's not a question, though.
I'm just saying that he has the better end of the deal.
He has a pretty good end of the deal. Absolutely. Right? I mean, I think so. However, I am probably more stressful to him than someone his own age.
You send text messages after 10 p.m.?
Sometimes they are explicit.
Now let me ask you.
Yeah.
Does he look like he's 50?
No. Absolutely not. He looks phenomenal.
I think he looks like he's 50.
Andrea does think he looks like he's 50. He has a phenomenal body. Probably one of the best-looking men I've dated. And he's got deep wrinkles, but they're handsome. A little bit of salt and pepper hair, but other than that, yeah, I think he looks great.
So now, how do you guys act in public together?
Oh, God. We make out in every corner of every bar. It's awful. I hate it. It's, like, so much PDA. I've never had this much PDA with anyone. I don't understand this part of myself.
I would have never known that about you guys.
Yeah, there are some times where I'm like, I can't believe that this is me. But I am so...
Wait, tell me all the places you guys have made out.
Andrea, name us. Name it.
Have you made out at Shea Charlie's?
Yes.
Have you made out at the shipyard?
The ship?
The ship.
No. No. Because I don't have... Thursdays. Who's got that time now?
Grunauer.
Yes.
Now, do you feel awkward?
Yeah. Well, I feel
like people are looking at you like she's so young and he's 50.
Is
that her dad? So there have been a few bars that are definitely being questionable because I like dive bars. And there was one where some guy was leaving and he like sort of rapped his knuckles on the table and said, "He's too old for you." And he was leaving. And then I thought, hey, you're old and with a transvestite, so I don't know where I file this. But I am not PDA. I've never done that. And with my ex-boyfriend, I never did that. But with him, it's just, I am very physically attracted to him and I don't mind. It's strange to me.
Michael, you asked something interesting earlier. You said, is he your sugar daddy?
Absolutely not. It couldn't, that, nothing could be farther from that. I mean,
but does it bother you that people might think he's your sugar daddy?
I think if you're going to date someone older, then you have to be able to suspend the importance of other people's judgment. I think that there's a lot of things that come with dating someone at any age where you have to be able to say, like, it's important to me that people read this relationship in one way. But then I think the older that you get and the more comfortable you get with yourself, you really just start to say, is this what I want to be doing? And if it is, that's enough.
Now, do you feel that he likes to do a lot of PDA? Do you think that's because he's trying to claim you?
If you were smart.
Let everybody in the bar know that you're his?
You know, if he were different when we weren't together, if he were someone who I thought was very jealous and protective when we weren't together, I might question that behavior. But he's very relaxed. And, you know, I posted that photo of you at the lake yesterday, and he hasn't even brought it up. I mean, he knows that I'm here with Andrea. He knows that I'm on vacation, but he never asked who's that guy, what's going on. And so I think...
You probably recognize the same last name.
Probably. But it's through and through with him. I've never gotten a sense of a jealousy or an insecurity. I think that the emotional response I get from him at a bar is just because we're very physically attracted to each other.
They have a super duper chemistry.
Yeah, it's that is. We ask each other all the time, is it just about the sex? And I think if it weren't for it, it never would have gotten this far. But it's unlike anything I've had with someone else.
Do you call him daddy?
All the time, absolutely. Poppy, Papa. Old man. No, no, that's disgusting. I would never. I know. But there's something weird to me about guys who want to be called daddy. I don't know. Is there such a thing as a reverse for a daddy complex? Can you have like a child complex?
Well, it's guys calling girls baby.
But don't you
think about what's involved in that?
I call everyone baby. Like when I'm dating someone, baby, babe, darling, sweetheart. Endearments are something that I think I love them. But I don't know. Someone calling me baby doesn't freak me out, even if they are 20 years older.
Because you don't think of it as the word baby, like baby.
No. Now if he's like, call me daddy, I'd be like, okay, let's talk about this. I'm going to call you like stepdaddy.
But you guys are bringing a lot of dirty talk into your lives. What are the names that you call each other?
The endearments stay very generic. They're not, I mean... He called me a whore once. I almost ripped his face off. Like, that will not stand.
Well, I initially had an issue with you dating this person, this much older man,
yeah.
Because he had an age-appropriate girlfriend at the time you guys started seeing each other.
Which,
and I felt weird about
fair.
You being the other woman.
Absolutely. And when we first found each other, I was not aware. And then when I became aware, I mean, yes, I should... This is sensitive for me. I don't like this part of the story, but yes, he was dating someone.
They went on family vacations together where their kids were friends.
You know I ended it when I found out about that.
There's a lot of weirdness also. Like, you can't visit the home. You guys have been together for months before you could see where he lived.
Yeah.
You're going to be a secret from his kids for a while.
Well, he started telling them about me.
Really?
Yeah. He told his oldest one about me, and he told him how old I was, and this made me angry, because I kind of wanted to come into this on my terms.
So what's the game plan for when you meet his kids?
There is none. I'm not ready to meet his kids.
But you walk in, you say, call me mom.
Yeah, I say, absolutely. Clean your room, brush my hair, and call me mom.
You have to call me mom now.
Yeah. I'm your new mother.
You get to tell them what to do.
Right. This is like having slaves or minions. Absolutely. And it's great because I didn't even have to give birth to them.
Casey has my blessing now. Like, I've gotten a sense of...
Well, let me ask you.
Of this.
What's changed your mind about it?
Well,
I haven't really gotten your blessing.
We can get into some deeper questions. I mean, what's the real reason? I mean, what are you going to get out of this? Do you not want to have kids one day?
Exactly.
Do you... You know what I mean? I mean, do you want to take care of him in 20 years when he gets, you know, back pain? I mean...
Or, right, when he falls down the ski slope.
Yeah.
I know. I think about this.
You know, what's your long-term plan?
But do you need a long-term plan? Because Andrea and I have talked about this at length. Dating in Kansas City and dating as a woman in Kansas City, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything in the meantime. I don't feel like the love of my life is at Shea Charlie's and I'm just missing it because I'm not paying attention. I really feel like I am choosing to sacrifice finding the long-term game plan for the short-term satisfaction, and I'm not sure that that's wrong or bad at this point.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But you don't see anything long-term.
How can there be something long-term with someone so significantly older than you? Like, I don't see myself in Kansas City long-term. I don't see my life having a consistent trajectory long-term. So everything around me feels pretty temporary. That's going to probably get really hard at some point.
But you have at least 2 more years left in Kansas City.
Maybe.
And if you and continue to see each other for 2 years, I mean, that's 2 years where you're both not meeting someone.
You're going to build a strong emotional connection to him and then just end it for no reason?
I love how you put that because there's something so brutally honest in there. But is it ending it for no reason if it was started with the understanding that it would end?
Are you guys both having that same understanding?
I think so. He knows. This has been a very big hurdle for us to even get this far, is that he was not comfortable with the idea that he would be dating someone who was so temporary. I don't know. Michael, you're right. Like, yeah. Yeah.
But, like, on the other side, Michael's, like, really focused on an end game right now, which sounds like that's not a... Michael really knows that he wants a wife and a family, and a lot of the decisions that you're making right now are working towards having that, which in my circle, no one talks about wanting that or pursuing that, but in your circles, that's like a more acceptable thing to be chasing after. So, I don't know, like, you feel weird if I say that I want that.
I do, and when you went through that phase where you were... not explicitly saying it, but all of your actions were so clearly going back to you were looking for a boyfriend and goddamn, you were gonna find one. There was something that made me very uncomfortable about that period of time because I wanted to be like, all the things that you really like about him don't seem to be things that you really like about him. He returns my text so quickly, and I always know that we can hang out all the time. And, you know, I'm like, what about his personality? What about the way that you guys communicate? Like, is he
my dog crazy? Likes him so much.
Yes, you wouldn't break up with someone because Mabel had gotten too attached to him. But it was so strange to me because the qualities that I know that would fulfill you about someone weren't the qualities that you were appreciating most about them.
Yeah, I think you can't look for someone for someone's sake, but also you shouldn't be dishonest about wanting to find someone if that's what you're doing at that time, so...
I don't know. I mean, are we at a period in time where you sort of have this window where you can just, not screw around, but experiment and not feel like you need a goal, or should we... be constantly purging things from our lives that don't seem like the right thing long term?
Thank you.
This is YOY, the debut episode. I'm Andrea Salenzi. Thank you to everyone who let me stick a microphone in your face this holiday. I love you all so much, and I want you in my life long term. You can subscribe to the YOY podcast by visiting yoyradio.com. There you'll find photos from today's show and learn more about the music we featured. There you can also sign up for our mailing list. That's where I'll be blasting you with all the upcoming show topics and asking for your stories. A few in the queue include juice fasting, Lulu, Tinder, robot sex, and more. Got something? Tweet at Andrea Salenzi. Our podcast artwork is by Greg Harrison at gregcircanow.com. He is so talented. Thank you, Greg. Stay tuned for Dave Emery, my favorite anti-fascist, back on the airwaves. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online, WFMU.org.
I want a house built of old wood. You could paint it any color you like, just so long as I can live with you. Paint it any color you like, just so long as I can live with you. I want a house built of old wood. You can paint it any color you like, just so long as I can. I can live with you.
Dave Emery, and it is my pleasure and privilege to present to you this, by the way, is side A of For the Record, program number 749. We are speaking with John Loftus, a man I consider to be a genuine American hero, the author of, among other titles, way back in 1982, The Belarus Secret, then The Secret War Against the Jews, and Unholy Trinity, both co-authored with Mark Arons, The Witness Tree, and Valhalla's Wake, which we will speak about, and most recently an updated and uncensored version of The Belarus Secret, America's Nazi Secret. John Loftus, welcome back once again to our airwaves.
Well, thank you, Dave. I've been away for a while. I'm recovering from some spinal surgery, but it's good to be back.
Well, I'm recovering from major jawbone and mouth surgery, tooth infection spread, and so I had 15 hours of surgery, and I'm still talking like Elmer Fudd. So,
I think you notice a difference, but nobody else does.
No, it's there, but it's still the same old me with the same old blues, and so or news
good
as
to
it
have
were.
You back.
Yeah, well, it's good to be back. And by the way, if listeners who have not heard the program are interested in some of the more recent developments and my take on them, the news and supplemental section of the Spitfire List website has about 2 years worth of blogging material. I was blogging almost as soon as I got out of intensive care, and there's tons of information in there. John, in recent weeks, we have been deluged with stories about the NSA leaker Ed Snowden, who has been disclosing that the National Security Agency and the British GCHQ have been hoovering up, vacuum cleaning massive amounts of electronic communication, and no doubt you were shocked to learn that there is gambling going on in this establishment.
You know, and it's a funny thing, but I've been saying this stuff for years. Way back when I wrote The Secret War Against the Jews, there was a very controversial passage that was censored out of my book, then put back in. I don't think that people understand that 90% of what Snowden is saying has been out there. Of course, we vacuum up everything electronically in any digital form anywhere in the world every day. The argument is that's not what violates his civil rights. It's only until someone, quote, targets it, that they actually listen to it, that's when your, you know, Bill of Rights stuff comes in, your Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable search and seizure. Well, targeting means someone has to actually sit down at a computer and type your name in, and then it'll search through the trash can of all collected things and pull out your talks. I wrote in The Secret War Against the Jews that what's been happening is, in order to evade the little requirement for search warrants, which apparently some people think is just a typo in the Bill of Rights, that we've been having the British Secret Service uses the NSA's computers to bug American citizens, and the American NSA uses British computers to bug British citizens. So each side can truthfully swear they're not spying on their own citizens. They're not. They're just swapping illegally obtained information. That's been going on for an awful long time. It's the big loophole in this intelligence sharing stuff.
John, we've been talking about that in our interviews since June of 1995 on
absolutely.
And off.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, what Snowden apparently was shocked that this was happening, and I think he made one valid point, that there really is not enough supervision. There is supervision. I mean, we have both congressional supervision in the form of reviews by the two intelligence committees, and we have judicial supervision in the terms of the FISA court. But he's saying that needs to be tightened up, and I agree with him there. I think he was stupid to do what he did. He should have gone to Congress. You know, and as I told Jonathan Pollard, you know, if you'd just gone to Congress with this stuff, you would have been a national hero. And now you're simply going to be a target of prosecution.
One of the things that I find interesting, again, this information has been on the public record. You and I have spoken about it. I've written about it. And being based here in the Silicon Valley, the belly of the beast, so to speak, I can tell the listening audience without qualification that not only the Internet, but all of these related functions, their smartphones, all of this stuff, their social networks, are inextricably linked with military and intelligence-developed technology. So again, I'm shocked. Shocked that there's gambling going on in the establishment. But over in Europe, John, they are really shocked. Shocked to learn that there's gambling going on in the establishment.
You know, Dave, among my many security clearances was a cosmic clearance for all NATO top secret. Everybody in NATO, everybody was involved with wiretapping and recording what their own citizens said. The Americans have the most protection. The Europeans are absolutely, well, next to Russia. You know, next to Russia, that doesn't even make a pretense of having privacy and civil rights. The European nations all monitor what their citizens say.
There was when, in the late 1990s, there was a flap about the Echelon and Menmuth Hill facilities. Again, a logical Internet development of the phone call vacuuming, and a European parliamentary report from September of 2001, published, I should say, in September of 2001, said a number of European countries have the same capabilities.
Of course. I mean, it's technology makes it very simple to record conversations, emails, digital faxes. Anything that is in electronic form is recorded and saved. Now, what's legal? Well, a phone book obviously has metadata. It has information about your phone number and where you live. If you add to that your telephone bill, the numbers of the people you are calling, you can get some very good intelligence information from that. So the intelligence agencies are saying that metadata, phone book data, we don't need a search warrant for that. Well, I kind of think they do. Now, believe me, I've dabbled in metadata myself. There was a terrorist case down in Florida, Samuel Aryan, that I got involved in. And what we did was, a buddy of mine, we sent out advertisements to all of Al Aryan's supporters saying, we want you to try our international calling card free for 90 days. And we hope you'll sign up with us in the future. Well, one of the idiots actually used our card. So we became, for a brief period of time, the phone service for Al-Qaeda. We became the Ma Bell of terrorism. Because once one person volunteered to have us be their phone company, then we were able to buy the phone bills of everyone that he called. And from the metadata, we were able to make a logistical map of all the terrorist support cells in the U.S. This is about 8 months after 9/11. And it was so successful. You know, at first when we gave it to Northern Command, and they were a little skeptical, then they ran our list of phone numbers through their computer, and it lit up like a Christmas tree, that we had found a way to identify logistic terrorist cells in the U.S. And Northern Command went crazy. They said, my God, next to North Korean nukes, this is the most important project we had. And from our metadata, they then were able to successfully obtain search warrants. The FBI took credit, of course. We never did get that $1 million reward for justice they promised. But because someone volunteered to have us be their phone company,